You are Locked On Pac-12, your daily podcast on the Pac-12 Conference. It's the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another episode of Locked On Pac-12, where we keep you up to date on all you need to know about the Conference of Champions. Today, we're continuing the Pac-12 NFL Draft recap with the fourth and fifth rounds. Also, be sure to join Locked On NFL Draft hosts Trevor Sikkema and Benjamin Solak for recaps and analysis of the 2021 NFL Draft and a look ahead at next year's future first-round picks. Follow the Locked On NFL Draft podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. I'm your host, Cindy Robinson, and I'm joined by Brian Brown of Locked On Utes. Brian, we're halfway through the week and almost done with the draft review. How are you feeling today?
I'm excited to be back with you, but obviously very sad about the fact that, you know, football is almost over now until next season. That's, I don't know what I'm going to do.
You know, I definitely think that these months are going to roll by because everyone's looking forward to possibly having a little sense of normalcy in this summer. I don't know if it's going to happen for sure, but with the possible, you know, most people getting vaccinated and outside opening up, I think it's going to fly by.
That's my hope. I was having a discussion about best tailgating spots in the Pac-12 earlier today. So it is, as they like to say on the internet, Earth is returning to normal. We're moving forward. It's got to be a good sign.
I am definitely ready for sure for it to start back to normal. 100% ready. Okay, so like let's just jump in here. You know, we've covered the first round, second round, and third round. Now we're on to the fourth and fifth. So we're leaning into that third day a little bit, but we're gonna break down a few of those names that were chosen and, you know, just what they're going to bring to these teams that they're heading to. Starting with USC's defensive tackle, Jay Tufele, who was the first in the fourth round to go for the Pac-12. Jaguars got him, and he's a Utah native, so I'm expecting you to know everything and more about him.
Yeah, Salt Lake City boy, pride of Bingham High School. One of the more legendary high schools here locally in Salt Lake City. Been a national contender in years past. But he is just an absolute typical Utah defensive lineman in the fact that he's big, strong, explosive, and plays really well with his hands. This is one of those guys where it's kind of a surprise that he landed in the fourth round, but decided to opt out into 2020. And there is some backstory to that with his family and his sister going through some illnesses. So he did decide to do that, you know, kind of to take care of his family and get prepped up for the draft. But he is, I think he's a steal for the Jaguars there in the fourth round. I think he's going to be a great fit with new coach Urban Meyer and whatever defensive scheme they decide to go with. He does have some versatility to where he can play those even fronts, where he can play that three technique. He can do the two gaps where he's occupying multiple blockers. But he is just an absolute gem. He is one of those guys that probably should have been a first rounder had things gone according to plan. But as 2020 taught us, it never really goes according to plan, right?
Yeah. You know, you were mentioning that opting out definitely had a play in, you know, falling in the draft. I'm wondering, because I've seen a few of the draft analysis of him, there was this note about him that he's shown instances of losing the football and misidentifying blocking schemes. Is that an issue, like, that might have contributed to him falling?
Could have been, yeah, for sure. I think it's that position is very critical in terms of what everybody behind him does, because if he misses a read or misses his assignment and an lineman can get to a linebacker, for example, in the run game, that's critical, right? Because that opens up a hole. A running back can get a good gain. That gives an offense momentum. When offenses get momentum off the run game, that's a huge change. For whatever reason, the run game is this giant momentum giver to whoever is able to generate it. And so that for sure, I think, is part of it. I think he came in as a very heralded recruit to USC. We didn't see just big steps of development. You know, there are guys at USC, like Drake Jackson, for example. I think that is it Drake Jackson or Drake London? I get those two mixed up. anyways, who have taken those big steps, and Jay was never that guy to kind of come out and shine, you know, on a regular basis. Somebody like Jordan Scott, for example, at Oregon, who you always knew that he was there, he was making his presence felt. Now, there were games like, for example, when he'd come back and play against Utah, where he would be dominant and really showcase how good he could be. But those missed assignments, I think oftentimes when scouts see stuff like that, they look at it as not taking care of his business. And so that could lead to a variety of assumptions on their part. Either he's not watching film, or he's not studying, he's not getting into, you know, the playbook, or checking on the iPad to see what's going on with that. And that's likely the reason why he's there in the fourth round, you know, where you're still trying to get the guys who are athletically there, but maybe need some development or some coddling a little bit.
Yeah. And I mean, that'll come because either you will do the work or you will get cut. It's a difference, you know, in the NFL. It's not the, you know, chances you get playing in college. You have a little more leeway to mess up here and there. But in the NFL, it's like, that's your job. So you come here to do your job or get lost.
Yeah, there's no million-dollar bonuses in the fourth round. You got to come in humble and hungry and really work for it. And I think that's a great culture for him to go into, where he has an opportunity to prove himself with a coaching staff that is fresh start for him, an opportunity to go out and get that bag for sure.
Speaking of humble and hungry, let's move on to the next player, another USC alum, wide receiver, Amon-Ra St. Brown. Okay, he went seventh in the fourth round. To the Lions. The Lions are loving the Pac-12 players, if I do say so. They have Penei Sewell, Levi Onwuzurike, and now Amon-Ra St. Brown. He's the third Pac-12 player. Yeah, third Pac-12 player Lions pick. So, yeah, I don't know what the Lions are seeing in the Pac-12, but I'm here for it.
Yeah, new head coach Dan Campbell there for the Lions. He's trying to establish a culture of toughness. No surprise to us being out here on the West Coast, where the Pac-12 really is a tough competitive conference. I know it's not the SEC, but it's still worth watching. And I think Amon-Ra is one of those guys that he has just demonstrated forever, you know, even as a high schooler, just dedication to the craft. You know, his athletic ability is definitely there. He is a smaller wide receiver, there's no doubt about it, but he works well out of the slot. He is excellent in his routes and getting out of his routes and getting and creating separation with coverage. A guy that has, you know, I think he was a little bit, I don't want to say buried, but that wide receiver crew at USC for the past few years has just been so insanely saturated with talent that it's hard to really stand out and be the guy, especially when you have giants like Michael Pittman out there who can catch everything, you know, and it's going to be another year like that at USC with everybody that they have coming back this year. But it's a good landing spot for him, I think, where he can go and be an impact guy and really show that wiggle and that juice that he has. You know, he is a real twitchy guy, which the NFL is starting to trend more towards. And likely that's why he's a fourth round guy. He's not the 6'5", 225 wide receiver that can jump out of the building and runs a 4.3 40, but he still has a lot of benefit to any offense that he's coming into.
Yeah, he's known for his physicality and toughness, and he'll battle for the ball. And I feel like that's always what we want to see in a skill set, because if you're willing to fight for it, that means you're going to, you know, make that corner work for it. The Lions lost Marvin Jones, Kenny Galladay, Jamal Agnew, and Danny Amendola. So there's definitely room for him to secure a spot. A lot of the free agents that they signed in the free agency were just for a year. So definitely looking to see like him make the team, actually, because, you know, those later rounds you start worrying about, like, not necessarily worrying, but it's a little more of a grind. You know, it's one of those like I have to secure a spot, and a lot of those guys end up on practice squad, if not on another team, you know. So I definitely think that, you know, with the background that he comes from, and I'm sure, like I said, the humbleness that he has, he'll be putting in the work to secure a spot on that team for sure.
Yeah, we were talking a little bit about his family and how insane they are. Dad was a former Mr. Universe. Brother played at Notre Dame, is a wide receiver now for the Packers. Other brother is a wide receiver at Stanford, Osiris. They have probably the dopest name game out of any family of wide receivers. Sorry to the Mosses. It's just, you know, and growing up there, I think sometimes like the youngest child has that little bit bigger chip on the shoulder.
Oh yeah, he definitely he has said that. He had to work harder than everybody else. He had to fight for, you know, that respect a little more. The little brother always gets picked on. That's always the case. So yeah, he's ready to come in and work for his, I'm sure.
Yeah, and he plays like he was that little brother that was fighting back at every moment. And I think it'll be fun to watch him in Detroit, where they're trying to establish a culture. And like you said, it's a good opportunity for him to go out and earn a roster spot right off the back rather than getting stuck on the practice squad like a lot of those later round guys tend to do.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, I need to know, Brian, are you prepared for Mother's Day? It is literally days away.
This is the good news about being a podcast host, is this stuff comes to you ahead of time so you can actually prepare. That's the best part about like this job, is it sets a calendar for me. Otherwise, I would be the guy scrambling at 10 o'clock on Saturday night trying to put together something cool for my mom.
Okay, so for those of you who may be like Brian and didn't know, and you're like scrambling now thinking about what you may want to get your mom, this episode is brought to you by 1010, a capsule collection of diamond rings that are responsibly sourced, limited edition designs at fair price points. So 1010 has an exclusive collection of 10 creative styles of diamond rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. And the rings will sure to bring joy to any woman's life, I promise you guys. They're only using diamonds responsibly sourced from Botswana, and 10 female design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful ring. Definitely ideal for Mother's Day, okay? Your mother would love this. They're available now through Mother's Day only on BlueNile.com. So just search the words 10 by 10. There's some, you know, amazing pieces there. Definitely want to check them out. You never know what you may find. I guarantee your mom will love at least one of those. And if it's not for your mom, your wife, your girlfriend, whoever it may be for, like, they will love it, I promise you. So you're gonna check it out, Brian?
Oh, I'm still in the hunt for to find my future children's mother. So, like, this is
first
stop along the line.
There you go. And then another option for Mother's Day is the Built Bars, right? So, I still haven't tried them, and I'm a little salty, but I'm patient. It's only my, third day, so I'm going to be a little patient and wait for my Built Bars to come in so I can try them. But if you want to, you know, try them yourself or let your mom try them, most moms, from what Brian's telling me, would love a Built Bar, you know? A tasty, healthy treat. Why not, you know? So send her a box, and you're sure to be her favorite, at least for a while. Tell us a little bit about the Built Bars, Brian.
Well, I am an evangelist for the Church of Built Bar and the benefits that come with it. And that is one thing that I am ahead of the curve on for once, is that I did get my mom a full supply of Built Bars. Her favorite flavor right now is Cherry Barcia, so that's one that I prefer as well. The mint brownie is another delicious one. We talked a little bit about the orange, how they taste like those orange sticks that you used to get back in either your Easter basket or maybe your Christmas stocking, whatever it is. The taste is the big part of it, but the backside to it is the fact that these are so much better for you than any candy bar that you're going to find on the market. Up to 19 grams of protein for most bars, less than 200 calories. You're going to have less than 5 grams of sugar. So they are keto friendly if you're into that. But it is that good whey protein, like we were talking about, getting in after your workout or when you're getting hangry, or right before a podcast when you have to deliver the goods, whatever it is, that's what Built Bar is there for.
So if you know a mom that's, you know, trying to stay healthy, or she's trying to get her snap back because she's a new mom, you know, you never know. Built Bar is perfect. So go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your first order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. Now, we're moving on. Stanford center Drew Dahman went 9th in the 4th round and to the Falcons. Now, he's one of those that, you know, didn't opt out of 2020, so he has plenty of tape on him. 3 seasons at Stanford. He was 2020's first team all-conference. And, you know, he's known for his technique, his grit, and his use of his hands. But he also is the son of a former NFL lineman and coach. So, you know, he kind of grew up with that, in, you know, lineman coach in his house.
Yeah, people talk about mama mentality, but there is also lineman mentality that goes out there. And normally that refers to the fact that we're the first ones in line at the buffet, or the first ones to get to the barbecue joint early there on a Friday morning. But in this case, he's son of Chris Dahlman, who was a former 49ers offensive lineman, somebody that I watched a lot growing up. But he is exactly like you said. He is a technician. He's a specialist. He's good with his hands. Those centers especially, and playing in a system like Stanford, so much of it is having to do everything with just one hand while the other one's between your legs as you're trying to secure the most important part of the play, which is getting the snap back to the quarterback. He's a little undersized, 6'3", 295, but he plays with tenacity and he plays with that skill. That's likely why he's a fourth-round pick, but the bloodlines and everything else about him, the fact that he started all 12 games for the Cardinal in 2019 and was the first-team all-conference in a conference that has a lot of talented defensive tackles, by the way. Good indicator that he'll be able to stick there with Atlanta. A team that also values good offensive linemen as well. He'll likely be going in, I believe, as a backup to Alex Mack. So, you know, an opportunity to kind of grind a little bit and still get paid for it.
And, I mean, in that, you know, those positions, you always want to have some backups, right? Because those are the ones that you honestly – probably more important than any of them. You're one protecting the quarterback. So many things go wrong in that position. I've seen so many players get hurt and then the teams are screwed for the rest of the season. So if anything, he'll be able to learn up under Alex Mack and, you know, expand what he needs to as far as his technique goes and his skill. You can't really do too much about your size, height wise. You can build a little bit weight wise, but you know, that you're limited there.
Yeah, you are. And I think at the center position, it's one that can be minimized a little bit more simply because you can create that good leverage. You know, if you're going up against big defensive tackles, it makes your job a lot easier if you can get underneath them, kind of take their legs out away from them. But, you know, he'll be going into a good place, a good opportunity under new coach Arthur Smith, who by all accounts is an offensive and a run game guru. So if you're a guy coming from Stanford, I mean, you already won the lottery for the first part of getting to graduate from Stanford. Getting to go to play for a coach like Coach Smith sounds like a pretty good deal, too.
Yeah, okay. Well, there you go. Okay, so Oregon's cornerback, D'Amador Lenore, fell to the fifth round, and he got picked up by the 49ers. Now, the 49ers, I feel like, have had an interesting situation with their corners. Went through a few of them in the past, I want to say this past season? Yeah, this past season. And so what do you see D'Amador bringing to the 49ers?
I think a lot of it is just his experience playing for Oregon. He was a top athlete, top recruit coming out of the LA area, which is a bit of a, cornerback like haven, if we're being honest. A lot of really talented cornerbacks come out of that area. You know, he is a guy that brings a lot of physicality to his game. He has good speed, a little bit undersized for what's happening with the modern NFL cornerback, where he's only 5'10", 200 pounds, so he's got plenty of weight to go with him as well. But he's a guy that just plays tough and nasty. And so I think in that 49ers system where they like to get their corners up and have their corners be physical, you know, Richard Sherman has been very successful even after the Achilles injury for that very reason, plays that same style, has really good feet. You know, really good in the run support aspect of things too. So all of that plays in his favor going to a system like the 49ers employ, where those kinds of things are really important for their corners.
Yeah, I mean, he ran a 4.48 in his pro day, and so that's not bad. Like a 4.4, you're able to keep up with, you know, those receivers for the most part. You're bringing some speed. Now, I did see that Draft Network referred to him as an adequate athlete when it comes to his overall quickness and coverage, which I don't really like the word adequate. To me, it doesn't excite me. It kind of makes me wonder about you a little bit, but I definitely think that he can bring more to that position than what the analysts are giving him.
And a lot of those guys make those assumptions based off of like fluidity of the hips, right? For corners where it's, you know, how quickly can you turn those hips? And, you know, you watch some of these guys and the way that they move their feet and the way that they can twist and sink their hips and coverage. And you're just like, how do you even stand upright when you have such like rubbery hips and the way that they can move those? Yeah. So when a guy is a little bit stiffer, all of a sudden he's adequate. Whereas the 90% of us who can't even do half of what he can do are sitting over here like, man, I wish I could dance like that, you know? So I think he's going to a great system where he'll be able to showcase his skill set. And that's the other thing that when we look at these evaluations, these guys are evaluating it for every single category and no one's going to check every single box. But what you want are the guys who check the boxes that you value the best. And I think that's what the Niners got in Diddy.
Yeah. Okay. Well, for those of you that are looking to get into betting, I have something for you. BetOnline.ag is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. And since we're at home in quarantine, if you don't feel like being back in the mix with everybody just yet, BetOnline.ag is where it's at. This week, you know, there was tons of sports action this past weekend with the Kentucky Derby and the NFL Draft. But you can get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC MMA action. And before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't just sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. You know, NBA playoffs are right around the corner. And then, I'm sorry, I'm going to throw this in there. WNBA season's about to start. Don't sleep on them. I'm telling you, get into it. That's some great talent there and, you know, probably going to win you a few bets. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline is your online sportsbook expert. So BetOnline.ag is the where it's at, you guys. The promo code is Locked On. Locked On. Use it. So we're going to close it out. You know, we have two more to go with Stanford wide receiver Simi Fehoko, who was drafted in the fifth round by the Cowboys. You know, we know the Cowboys already have why is his name escaping me right now?
Oklahoma.
Yes.
Draft. How does this happen?
Oh my God. Okay. He wears 88. That's all you need to know. I can't believe his name escaped me like this. I feel so bad. But either way, Stanford wide receiver, Simi, he's coming in at the fifth round, and I'm always a little like, ooh, those last rounds, obviously being drafted is an amazing thing, regardless of what round you go at. Being undrafted, there's so many undrafted free agents who make, you know, names for themselves. Do not let that deter you. But it is a harder grind, what we've been saying. So Simi's going to have to come in ready to grind, but he's going to look to learn from some of those receivers that's already there. Tell us a little bit about Simi.
Yeah, Simi is a big physical wide receiver. He actually played high school ball here in Salt Lake City, so got to see him, got to know him a little bit. He will be opposite of CD Lamb.
There you go.
I can't believe that we forgot that.
I struggle so hard.
But he's, you know, Simi is a great young man. He is a very smart, very talented football player. I think this is going to be a nice fit for him because he's a bigger physical wide receiver, still has a lot of speed in his game, but he's 6'4", 220, and there are not a lot of those sized wide receivers in Dallas right now, and I think that's where he can earn a place on the roster, is being that big dude to be on the outside, to go up and get balls in the red zone. He's going to be an asset for Dak Prescott in that respect. He's also going to play with a former Stanford teammate down there, tight end. Apparently it's just me forgetting everybody who plays for the Cowboys today, but that's all right.
No, it's me too. See, we're it's okay. Cause we're not locked on Cowboys. We're locked on Pac-12. So that's our job. Right.
That's right. And if you do want to listen to Locked On Cowboys, I believe it's Aaron Carter down there, running things for them, but that's a great fit for him. Like you said, fifth round is a weird place for him to fall because I think he's likely a better player than that. And as we're seeing really with everything that happened and how the draft laid out, there's a ton of Pac-12 guys who I thought were a lot better than where they got drafted. The bulk of the Pac-12 guys is all fourth and fifth round. sixth, seventh, you know, that kind of stuff. So you could call it a down year for the Pac-12. Maybe some of it is that so many guys came back to school. Hard to say. But, you know, Simi is a guy that I really do think can have an instant impact. Just his size, you know, how he can get up and go for the football. And usually with those bigger Stanford wide receivers like J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, they don't have the athleticism or the ability to get off the press. Simi really does.
Okay. So those are things to look forward to. And then honestly, if, you know, like you said, his height and his size is going to set him apart. That's a big deal, especially at that wide receiver position, because the matchups are going to be crazy. There's not going to be too many corners that can match up with him on the outside at all. Like, let's be real. So there's a big chance we may actually see him getting some playing time this year and getting on that field during the season.
Yeah, I mean, he's a pick-your-poison guy, right? Do you want to get killed by CeeDee Lamb in the slot, or do you want to get taken over the top by Simi, you know? And that's the part, I think, where he has a chance to really be an impact guy to go in there and be a weapon for Dak Prescott.
Yeah, CeeDee and Simi, what a duo, right?
That's like the twins version of football players, right? CeeDee, the short speedster, and Simi, the big leaper.
I'm going to actually have to make sure I tune into the Cowboys games this year for that reason. I need to see this. Moving forward to our last player that we're going to highlight today is USC safety. I'm going to let Brian say it because I don't want to mess it up.
You got it. You got it. Talanoa Hufanga.
Talanoa Hufanga. Okay. Yes. There we go. He went 36 in the fifth round. So yeah, tell us a little bit about Talanoa.
We were talking earlier, I think is the perfect comp for him is a former SC safety in Buda Baker, right? Or Washington safety in Buda Baker. Is it Washington or SC?
Washington.
Yeah. Getting everything mixed up today. That's good. Husky fans and Trojan fans will both be mad at me today, so that'll be perfect.
We are human people. But another one going to the 49ers. 49ers defense definitely needed help. They had a slew of injuries that plighted them this last season. I mean, it was actually kind of ridiculous at that point, from injuries to COVID situations. It was a lot going on for them. So how could Talanoa come in and help the 49ers?
I think schematically he's a good package fit for them. So you can bring him in and play him on third downs, and you can bring him from a variety of places. That sort of honey badger safety that Tyrann Mathieu has pioneered is starting to gain more and more traction in the NFL. We're seeing the college offense kind of transition into the NFL more and more. And so because of that, like, it's, you're seeing smaller physical safeties get in there that can play a little bit of corner. And I think he's a perfect fit.
Yeah, one of the things that, you know, most people are saying is that he's actually probably one of the biggest steals in the draft, especially with how late he went, but he was like the best value pick left at that position.
Yeah, without a doubt. And he was a guy that I think he's going to the right spot, despite the fact that he was maybe drafted a little bit later. But just another surprise, you know, he is undersized a little bit, 6 feet, 200 pounds. You know, I don't know that he really put up the best numbers in terms of pro day stuff, but he is just an incredibly productive safety. Every game that he played in 2020 for USC was incredible to watch. He was all over everywhere. Just a really talented player. But I think, you know, one of those guys that's got, like we've talked about, that kind of got caught up in the COVID sweep where they didn't get the full 10, 12 games to showcase who they really were.
Right. Which, I mean, at the end of the day, that wasn't necessarily something just happening to him. You know, we saw it across the nation. So you got to make the best of what you got going and, you know, just make sure you grind when you get there, because that's all that matters is what you showcase when you get there and get that opportunity.
Yeah. And he's one of those dudes that he's going to study his tail off, and he's going to work hard, and he is so instinctive in that game. I think it's just going to benefit him so much. It's going to put him at an advantage once he gets to the NFL.
Okay. Well, Brian, another showdown. We are through the week for our co-hosting at least, but this has been a great first week for me so far.
Yeah, I've had so much fun. This is awesome. Thank you so much for having me on. I'm looking forward to getting into it even more as we go throughout the year, and I feel like time's already flying fast. So before we know it, the season will be here.
I know it will. Don't worry about it. I promise you. You're going to be like, oh, I blinked and here it is.
You're going to have to console me like in June and July where I'm sitting in the corner just rocking, missing football like crazy. Yeah. So that's that's when we can get on our WNBA tip, right?
There we go. That's what I'm telling you. I got my hoodie already ready. The orange hoodie, got it. So we got
to okay. See, I'm an Aces fan, so it's going to get a little – it might get a little heated at times.
Okay. Yeah, we're going to have to see the Pac-12 players that are in the WNBA and talk about that a little bit. That's definitely going to be on our list to do. I'm bringing you guys all types of content this season, you guys.
See,
not just football and men's basketball. We're doing women's basketball. I might throw some track in there. You know, the Olympics are supposed to be happening this summer. Let's hope it does.
Fingers crossed.
The Olympics are supposed to be happening this summer, so we'll have a lot to talk about from our Pac-12 Olympic contributors, you know, that are going to be out there. Definitely we'll see some track athletes from the Pac-12. If you didn't know that, that's one thing we do. We do have a lot of track athletes that do pretty well. So
that's why it is the Conference of Champions, right? Nobody can hang.
I'm telling you. Also, you guys, speaking of basketball, we're on the subject. Make sure you check out today, Locked On Today podcast. Today, the question of the day or whatever is, are the Miami Heat headed for the play-in games? I don't know if I like that whole play-in situation, but that's another conversation. Get more of the sports news you need in less time with the Locked On Today podcast. And you can follow them on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. Same thing with Locked On Pac-12. Thank you all for listening and make sure you stay locked on. You can also follow me on Twitter at _CindyRobinson or follow the Pac-12, the Locked On Pac-12 Twitter at LO_Pac-12. Woo, it's a lot to remember. And then Brian, where can they follow you?
At BrownBearSLC, be forewarned. There's a lot of food tweets that come out of that account.
It's okay. You'll be all right. We all love food. It's all good.
as long as you like tacos, we can be friends.
Oh my. Brian might have just became my bestie, you guys. There's no way. I'm from California, so you already know. I love Mexican food. It's one of my favorites. So.
Listen, like I love living here in Utah, but the one thing that I do miss about like being down there in California is that there's just not a good carne asada burrito that can match every street corner in Cali.
Okay, so if you're in Utah and know of a good carne asada burrito, let Brian know.
Yes.
He may already know about it, but you know, if you know of somewhere that you think he might not know, share with him. Let him know. He needs those options because I have all the options galore, and I can't wait to go eat some today.
Yeah, just don't blow up my mentions with Hector's. I mean, I've been going there since high school. So.
Okay, until next time, you guys. Thanks for listening.